Prologue. New Year's Day, 1907. At 11 o'clock precisely, the sound of trumpets echoes within the White House and floats through open windows out into the sunny morning. A shiver of excitement strikes the line of people waiting four abreast outside Theodore Roosevelt's front gate and runs in serpentine reflex along Pennsylvania Avenue as far as 17th Street before whipping south and dissipating itself over half a mile away. The shiver is accompanied by a murmur. The president's on his way downstairs. There is some shifting of feet, but no eager pushing forward. The crowd knows that Roosevelt has hundreds of bejeweled and manicured hands to shake privately before he grasps the coarser flesh of the general public. Judging by last year's reception, the gate will not be unlocked until 1 o'clock, and even then it will take a good 2 hours for everybody to pass through. Roosevelt may be the fastest handshaker in history. He averages 50 grips a minute, but he is also the most conscientious, insisting that all citizens who are sober, washed, and free of bodily advertising be permitted to wish the President of the United States a Happy New Year. On a day as perfect as this, nobody minds standing in line, with the possible exception of those unfortunates in the blue shadow of the State, War, and Navy building. Already, the temperature is a spring-like 55 degrees. It is Roosevelt weather, to use a popular phrase. Ladies carry bunches of sweet-smelling hyacinths. Gentlemen refresh their thirst at dray wagons parked against the sidewalk. A reporter, strolling up and down the line, notices that the weather has brought out an unusual number of children, some of whom seem determined to enter the White House on roller skates. More music seeps into the still air. This time, it is the Star-Spangled Banner, played with dignified restraint by the Marine Band. The President has had occasion to complain in previous years of too loud a welcome as he arrives in the vestibule. After only one strophe, the anthem fades into silence and another murmur runs down the line. He's taking his position in the blue room. Now a German march. He's begun to receive the ambassadors. For the last half hour, they have been rolling up in their glossy carriages, viscounts, barons, and knights, bearing the greetings of emperors and kings to a plain man in a frock coat. A sizable crowd has gathered outside the east gate to watch them alight under the porte cochere. Their excellencies teeter down, almost crippled by the weight of full court dress. Plumed helmets wobble precariously, while silver nose straps tweak at their mustaches. Great bars of metals tangle with their swaying epaulets, gold braid stiffens their trousers, and swords of honor slap against their thigh-length patent leather boots. Officers of the White House detail, themselves as brilliant as butterflies, hurry across the sunny gravel to assist. Screened through the tall pickets of the White House fence, all this awkward pageantry dissolves into an impressionistic shimmer, and the crowd watches fascinated until the last diplomat has hobbled inside. Thousands of other onlookers throng 16th Street and Connecticut Avenue to watch the cavalcade of Washington society converging upon the White House. Justices of the Supreme Court creak by in dignified four-wheelers. Congressional couples display themselves to the electorate in open broughams, necks craned for a glimpse of Princess Alice Longworth, the president's beautiful daughter, in apricot satin and diamonds. A silver-helmeted military attaché steers his own electric runabout. Two energetic little mules haul a mud-spattered bus full of army ladies. Inspired by the balmy weather, many of the president's guests arrive on foot. Lafayette Square is crowded with elegant young men and women. Naval officers march five abreast, their plumes frothing in unison. Chinese grandees drag heavy silk robes. Grizzled veterans of the Civil War stomp along with tinkling medals, and the crowd parts respectfully before them. The air is full of high-spirited conversation and laughter, while the music pouring out of the White House, a continuous medley now of jigs and Joplin rags, creates an irresistible holiday mood. A newspaperman is struck by the happiness he sees everywhere on this, the best and fairest day President Roosevelt ever had. Such superlatives in praise of the weather are mild in comparison with those being lavished on the State of the Union. On this day of our Lord, January 1, 1907, the Washington Evening Star reports, we are the richest people in the world. The national wealth has been rolling up at the rate of $4.6 billion